I did misspeak during the welcome. I said that Doris's family was out of town. And my wife, of course, immediately asked, who in the world is Doris? And I meant Miss Doreen, of course. And so I'm hoping that you guys can keep a secret and not let Miss Doreen know that, you know, we missed Doris this week. So I come here this week saying to you, grace and peace from God the Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you would, please turn in your Bibles and go to the book of Joshua, chapter 3. Book of Joshua, chapter 3, as we begin move to the next part of this message series called Living a Life of Significance. Today we begin on the section called Crossings. And before we go and read this passage, I just want to just share something quickly with you. In these days of turbulent times and people being afraid to stand up for their faith, whichever side you lean on is immaterial. But for the first time in the recorded history, at a political gathering yesterday, the First Lady of the United States stood and led the crowd in the Lord's Prayer. That has never happened ever. And so we can just say amen for that. Right, church? We need to pray for our leadership. We need to pray for folks. But, you know, we had an interesting weekend this week as you've gone to Joshua chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. By the way, if you have your Bibles, please hold them up all over the sanctuary, whether in digital or printed format. And so as we continue on this series, you know, we've had a bit of a journey this week ourselves. My daughter and her youngest son and my son-in-law came down this weekend. And my son-in-law put in a brand new air conditioning system in our home, all new duct work. It was just amazing, and we're thanking him for that. But the good news is I try to never really embarrass him that much in front of people. But you know, truly, my daughter could not have done better than the man that she married, and that is just a wonderful thing. We just thank the Lord for him. And we thank the Lord for the man he is to my daughter and her children. What I did like is that being a technical guy, he put in one of these thermostats that you can put an app on your phone and you can control it and program it. When you go out of town, you can turn it up and turn it down. Or while you're sitting there watching TV, you can simply make it colder. Of course, then he messed up the whole thing by allowing my wife to put that on her phone. And so now I think we're going to have the battle of the thermostat apps going on in our home each and every week. We have that ongoing battle in most married lives. It's too cold or it's too warm. Amen? All right. Looking at the Word of God, if you're there in Joshua chapter 3 and verses 1 through 5, please say amen. Amen. Reading from the Word of God. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Acacia Grove, and came to the Jordan, he and the children of Israel, and lodged there before they crossed over. So it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. And here's a great passage of Scripture. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. What an amazing passage of Scripture. We're going to be talking this week and next week about the crossing of the Jordan River. I want to extend this, though, for those of you watching on the internet, for those of you here, please invite your friends and family. Next week will be on a part of Scripture, a symbolism of the River Jordan that you may have never heard in a sermon before. Invite your friends, invite your neighbors, invite your family. It's going to be a message unlike any you've ever heard from the Word of God. So what is the real point of verse 5 in this passage? And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. The point is that Joshua is saying, hey folks, get ready. Tomorrow is miracle day. How many of us could use a miracle in our lives right about now? Amen? How many of us would love to have the Lord work wonders in our lives? You see, in other words, he's saying here, sanctify yourselves. Set yourself apart is what sanctify means. Set yourself apart to the Lord. We don't sanctify ourselves to anything but the Lord. Amen? We set ourselves apart to the purposes the Lord has placed in our lives. I was so grateful and so gratified this morning that even though Brother Dugal, Cliff, is out of town, that our secondary guitar rock star, Brother Ronell, picked up the slack there. And as Brother Ronell was playing, what a mighty and amazing thing that was, just to see him step in like that. And Brother Davidson playing, and DJ on the drums, and young the other young man on the congos. You see, something you very rarely hear in Baptist churches throughout America. You know, man, we have a great set of congo drums going on here. You know, but we have that here, and it's just a wonderful thing. And so Joshua is saying, tomorrow the Lord will do wonders. He will do miracles. He will do wonders among you. Friends, this is a miraculous story today of a wonder and miracle working God. Do you believe God can do miracles when you set yourself apart for Him? Say amen. Amen. See, I just tricked you. I'm sorry about that. Let me ask you this. Did you get up yesterday morning? Did you get up one day this week and take yourself, take your family, take your work day, your leisure time? Did you take yourself and take all these things and set it apart as holy to the Lord, preparing for today? You see, if we are expecting God to do wonders, we need to set ourselves apart for that. When you set yourself apart as holy, did you do so coming to church today expecting my God, expecting the Almighty to do wonders during our service today?
Amen.
Absolutely, amen. Absolutely, amen. You see, friends, we serve a miracle-working God. We serve a wonder-working God. We serve a mighty God, a holy God. We serve the Almighty, a God of truth and glory. And in the passage we see today, we will see that what the Lord did for them was to perform a miracle as we go through this chapter. And He stopped the River Jordan for a specific purpose. He stopped it for a specific purpose. Well, what is that purpose? So that they could obviously cross over that River Jordan out of the wilderness of their lives and cross from the wilderness of their lives into the land of Canaan, the promised land of victory. Therefore, God's people could stop being wilderness wanderers. They could stop wandering around in the wilderness and they could become Canaan conquerors. However, to do that, between them and Canaan, between them and the land of promise, between them and the land of opportunity, between them and the land of milk and honey, between them and that land that God had promised to them, was the dangerous, swirling, flooded Jordan River. Look down at verse 15, if you would, in the same chapter. If you're there, please say amen. And as those who bore the ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests who bore the ark, in other words, they sent the preacher first, bore the ark, dipped into the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all of its banks during the whole time of harvest, which was that time of the year. In other words, they have to cross this river. And it's a swollen river. It's a dangerous river. For Israel to go from where they had been in the wilderness into the land that they were promised by God, something had to be done about that river. Therefore, God performs a wonder. God performs a miracle. And we'll see this over today's message and next week's message, that when the men, the priests, the preachers, stepped out in faith. Now, before you go down that avenue, you say, yeah, that's right. The preachers led the way. The priests led the way. But you know, sometimes as Christians, we forget who we are. Because what has the Lord said in His Word? for you are a royal priesthood. That's who you are as Christians. And so this is talking about all of us that need to go from the wilderness of our lives into the promised land of God's promises by stepping out in faith. Amen? Now you'll notice here, we'll see as we see we go on, that as the priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant went down into the river, when they stepped foot into the water, the Jordan River stopped. The Jordan River stopped. But what did they have to do first, church? What did they have to do first? They had to step into the water. They had to set foot into that swirling water. Now, I don't know about you, but I was stationed in Alaska when I was in the Army. And one of the things that we would do up there in some of our adventure training is we would take these rafts and go down the rapids in Alaska, Copper River, the Yukon River. And let me tell you something, those aren't baby rivers. They have waves and things that reach literally almost twice as high as this room is. And as you go down there, you are just overwhelmed by the fury and the power and the might of our God and what He can do. And so they're saying here, what we need for you to do is set foot in that. You see, do you have tumultuous times right now in your lives? But it says here that the Jordan River stopped and it piled up in an actual place called, wait for it, look over at verse 16. Look down in your Bibles in verse 16. If you're there, please say amen. That the waters which came down from upstream stood still and rose in a what? Into a heap very far away at where?
Adam.
Now why is it named that? Well, you're going to have to be here this weekend, next week to get that answer. The city that is beside Zaratan. So the waters that went down into the sea of the Arabah, the Salt Sea. What is the Salt Sea in Scripture? You guys remember? That's the Dead Sea. In the Sea of Arabah, the Salt Sea, failed and were cut off, and the people crossed over opposite of Jericho. The Lord brought them exactly to where He needed them to be. They're supposed to invade and overcome the city of Jericho. For that to happen, God has to get them there. I'm sure the city of Jericho thinks that it is safe with this swollen, furious river that's just pouring down. But guys, our God can do all things. Our God can handle all things. And the Bible, notice what the Bible does here. It does not say that the river was diverted. It doesn't say that the river was taken away at Adam. It says that it was stopped and it was piled up into a heap. And where, in other words, where the water simply rose up in a pile at some point, and then right here, here's the pile of water, and then right here, it's dry. Now, how could God do that? How is that even possible? You know, the water of the river diminished so that it was dry, so that it was what God's people needed, to be dry and safe for a moment. It's dry and safe for that moment. And next week, we're going to get right into the whole symbolism of that. But listen, friends, what does this story have to do with our lives? You know, we never want to go to church, hear the message from the Word of God, and go home and say, so what? Okay, that was a nice story. That was a nice passage of Scripture. But so what? You see, what that has to do in our lives is that some of us right this second are facing rivers of difficulties. I know that. The odds are, whether it's you sitting here or someone watching on the internet, that you are facing rivers of difficulties in your lives. Difficulties that are keeping you from your dreams. Difficulties that are keeping you from your opportunities. Difficulties that are keeping you from the blessings of God that He has prepared for you. But there's good news today, friends, because our God is a great God. And our God is a God of promises. And our God is a God that keeps His Word. And what God has said will never pass away. And when God has promised you something and you grab onto that promise, you know that God may deliver on it in His own timing, but that promise is coming. Amen? Amen. You know, so we were talking on the way to dinner last night. Or maybe it was on the way back from dinner. Whatever happened, we were in the car and we were all talking. And segmented in those conversations, you know, I just brought up the concept of my wife and my daughter, you know, the jewelry that they wear, you know, they have, Well, my wife didn't have any on last night because she had been working in the yard. But normally she wears her jewelry. But the diamond earrings or the gold wedding band or chains. In heaven, that is sidewalk and walls. Can you imagine that? All the things that we worry about here on earth, the gold that we have and protecting it, in heaven is sidewalk. The diamonds are the walls of heaven. How glorious is that going to be? Amen?
Amen?
See, here's what you need to know, friends. Here's what you need to know along the way. That as the redeemed of God, you should realize that God has more planned for you. He has things planned for your lives. You should know that God wants to bless you. But there's life's floodwaters stopping you from receiving those blessings. Perhaps a river of doubt or weakness. Maybe a flood of fears or problems. Whatever it is, that fear is stopping you from receiving all that God has planned for you today. You see, you need to step out in faith. You need to pray that God will deliver what He has said He will do. You see, here's what I pray. Matter of fact, bow your heads. Let's go to prayer right now. All over the sanctuary with heads bowed. Lord, this is Living Hope Church. Your people gather here today. And Lord, we live in South Florida, as you know, and people travel all over. But Lord, our praise team has done the hard work of preparation. Our praise band has diligently sought to glorify You. Lord, our greeters, our administrative staff, our audio team, the congregation itself, we have all done in preparation, Father, to glorify You. And so, Lord, now we cry out with all of our hearts that we are ready to step out in faith. Lord, give us Coral Springs. Lord, give us the lost. Send us those that are hurting. Send us those that need the Lord Jesus Christ. Because, Father, we're ready. We're ready for Your blessing. We're ready to pronounce and announce Your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You see, sometimes you just got to ask. Lord, I didn't get that many blessings in life. And the Lord says, well, how many did you ask for? You see, we've done the good work of preparation. You may have noticed we got a couple of TVs down here. Okay? We got a couple of, well, not TVs, but they're new computer monitors. And the goal is to create an atmosphere of worship here. And we want our praise singers, and they know this. They've been asking for this. It's just a money thing sometimes. But God has provided. And so the music stands are going to go away. And our singers are going to be out here. And they're just going to be lifting and praising the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen? And that way they're not tied to the music and they can just get out here and sing. We can hear those great bass voices like Brother Cecil back there. I just love, you know, listen, just so you guys know, there's not a pastor around that wouldn't like to have that bass voice. Just want you guys to know that. But anyway, we've done the hard work and we want to praise God. Amen? And our God specializes in the impossible. So first, we come to our first point. I know we've been into this message for a few minutes, but we're going to get through two of our points today. And first, I want you to believe in the possibility of miracles. Believe in the possibility of miracles. Reading verse 5 one more time. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, meaning set yourself apart to the Lord, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. What is a miracle? Well, a miracle is the Lord doing wonders. When the Lord does His wonders, those are miracles. Now, some people have problems with miracles. Some people have difficulties with that. But guys, you won't have any difficulties in believing in miracles if you believe in God. In fact, if you can just accept Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. If you can believe that, you should be able to believe in miracles with absolutely no problem. Amen?
Amen?
Because believing in the God of miracles that has done that is easy. And really, I say this with all of my heart, all of the compassion in my heart. If you don't have that kind of wonder-working God in your heart, in your mind, I feel sorry for you. I truly do. Because we serve a mighty God. We serve an amazing God. You know, I read a quote by that great Baptist preacher, Dr. Adrian Rogers. And it's a great quote for Christians to use when somebody comes to them about the wonderful nature of Islam, or the wonderful nature of Buddhism, or Hinduism, or Sikhism. And here's what Dr. Adrian Rogers said the Christian is doing, is to say it with compassion in our heart. To say, "My God is alive. Too bad about yours." Because you can find a grave where yours is at. But we serve a living God, amen? We serve a God that is alive. And aren't you glad that your God is a living God, a great God, a God that can do miracles, amen?
Amen.
What an amazing God we serve. And our, listen, friends, let me make a bold statement. And I want you to listen to this closely. God is not the prisoner of His own laws. I'm going to say that again. God is not a prisoner of His own laws. Now, what do I mean by that? You know, when people talk about miracles, they say, "Well, wait a minute now. There are laws of nature, and the laws of nature cannot be broken." Church, they are not the laws of nature. Internet folks watching in, they are not the laws of nature. They are the laws of God. Because it is God that created the world and everything in it. And the Creator is not subject to His creation. The only thing that our Creator God is subject to, the only thing that our mighty God is subject to, is that He must be, quote unquote, true unto Himself. He cannot do things that are outside His nature. He cannot lie. He cannot change His mind. We serve an immutable God. We serve an unchanging God. And people say, "Well, why can God not change?" Well, it's very simple. For God to change, He would have to get better or worse. You got it? Say amen.
Amen.
If God were to change for the better, then that would mean He was not a perfect God to start with. If God were able to change for the worse, who wants to spend all of eternity with an all-powerful, almighty, omnipotent, omnipresent being that has had evil introduced into its nature? God cannot change. He is immutable. Sorry, guys, I went right off my notes there for a moment. So, God does not operate according to the laws of nature. Nature operates according to the laws of God. The Lord has said, as He says in the book of Job, "I have told the sea that you may go this far and no further." He asked Job, "Were you there when I hung the heavens and the sky? Where were you when I created the ostrich?" Silly bird, by the way. Silly bird. Only God could create something like that. Or the platypus. You know, tell me we don't have a God with humor. You know, God is a God of humor. If you don't think so, go down to the mall and pick a chair and just watch what passes by. As my wife says, some of these people stood in front of a mirror before they left the house and went, "That looks good." And all God's people said, if you do nothing else, just go there and try not to laugh. Just pray for them. Amen? All right, I'm wandering off topic here. All right, but listen, friends. God does not, He can reach out into creation. God can reach from heaven into creation anytime He wants and do anything He wants to do. He doesn't need, nor is He looking for, permission from any of us. The reason we know that God doesn't need our permission or God doesn't seek our counsel is because everybody on I-95 is not dead. I know some of you people, when you're driving home, what's down the well comes up in the bucket. Amen? So people have asked me, "Well, preacher, how do you explain miracles? How can you explain this miracle of the Red Sea parting? How can you explain this miracle of the River Jordan drying up? How do you explain that? How do you explain it piling up?" Friends, I can't explain miracles any more than I can explain God. My God is unexplainable. In fact, I would have no confidence at all in any God that I could personally explain. People say, "Explain God." Don't ever try to do that. Who has known the mind of God? What does the Lord say? Nobody. He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. He says, I am the Lord and there is no other. He is an unexplainable God. And listen, friends, that's okay. I don't understand all about electricity. That doesn't mean I'm going to sit around in the dark until I do. I don't understand all about how the air conditioning airflow works through the ducts in a house. Believe me, it's more than just it coming out of the condenser and going into the house. My very, very wonderful son-in-law tried to explain it to me yesterday. I didn't get it. I did not get it. He seemed nonplussed by that. How can a man that knows these languages and all these different languages and the mathematics and the computer programming, how can you not know this? It's part of my charm. It's just part of my charm. Listen, we can't all know everything. But friends, we don't need to explain miracles. Amen? Here's what I know. My air conditioner was cooking this morning. That's all I needed to know. Amen? See, when you can explain miracles, they're no longer miracles. They're circumstances. I don't understand everything about God, and I don't understand everything about miracles. But I thank God for verse 5. Prepare yourself, sanctify yourself, set yourself apart, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And that's why I took this church to prayer a few moments ago, that we want the Lord to do wonders among Living Hope Church. I believe we are ready. We have the room for people to come and sit. We have the all of the team prepared and ready to go. You see, I really have a hard time with Christians who have a problem with miracles. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The God that flung the stars into the sky. The God that made the ocean. The God that created that child that you gave birth to, ladies. Are you saying that God is incapable of doing miracles? Of course not. Amen? Let's move on. So first, we saw that you must believe in the possibility of miracles. Second, you need to recognize the purpose of miracles. God does not do miracles just like some kind of show. He doesn't do miracles just to do it. He has a purpose when He does these things. Not all of the purposes of miracles are given here in chapter 3, but some of them are. Therefore, what God has said is worthy of our study and a closer look. You see, because the first purpose of miracles is to commence a program. My goodness, now we're talking Baptist language, amen? We got a program. Pastor Larry just said a program. Look at verse 4. If you're there, say amen. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits, that's 3,500 feet. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you go, for you have not passed this way before. God was going to do something new for His people. Something new that they had not seen before. You've not been this way before. Up until now, at this point, they've been living in the wilderness. But now they're getting ready to receive the promises of Canaan. Now, by the way, how long had they been in the desert? 40 years. Did you know that I could easily walk from where they crossed the Red Sea into the land of Canaan in 9 days? Why did they not go in there? Because the Lord said, you're not going in there until I'm ready. But now the Lord is ready to do a new work. The Lord is ready to do a new thing. And this is just so exciting. Because God is bringing them into a place that they've never been before. Are you ready to go to a place that we've never been before, church? Are you ready for the Lord to fill this house with praise and worship to a holy God? Are you looking for the Lord to do a new work in your life to where you go sit down at Starbucks, sorry Brother Jim, you go sit down at Dunkin' Donuts, and somebody comes up and says, you know what, I see your t-shirt. Can you tell me something about this Jesus that you love? Can you tell me something about this God that you worship? Are you ready for the Lord to do a new work in your life? And God is saying, I'm fixing to do a new work here. They're entering a brand new era. And when they do, God will confirm it. See, I've noticed in my studies that when God begins a new age in the Bible, the miracles seem to come in clusters as you read through Scripture. Now, I get it that sometimes as you're reading through your Bibles, there are dry sections in there. I get that. I used to think that. For instance, when I used to read through my Bible, and I get through my Bible about every 9 weeks, that part in 1 and 2 Chronicles, as you begin those books, it looks like the Hebrew phone book for about 8 chapters. I thought, Lord, what is this? And finally I said, you know, the Lord said that not one jot or tittle will pass away. In other words, everything in His Word is important. And I said, well, if it's important, there must be a reason for all of this, these names to be here. And so I went and spent about 3 years studying those names. Amazing. Amazing. If you go to blueletterbible.org, you can go look up the stuff and then click on somebody's name and it'll tell you exactly what that name means. And so when you look at these people's names, you'll find out why they were far from God. Because their name means far from God. Or why they seem like they were just bloviators, because their name actually means big mouth or blowhard. Yeah, that's all in Scripture. That's good stuff. That's fun stuff. But God gets ready to do something. He does these miracles in clusters. For example, look at the cluster of miracles in the creation of the world. God said, "Let there be light." Before that, light had never been. The only light that existed came from God. So in other words, the Lord God was saying, light in me be. Because there had never been any light. So there was a cluster of miracles. Let there be light. Let there be the animals. Let there be the seas and the waters and the sun and the sky and all these, the heavens and all these things. Or look at the cluster of miracles in the Exodus story. Excuse me. My wife has said many times that she doesn't understand the whining that was going on in the desert journey. She says, if the Lord brings me out of bondage, allows me to take all of the wealth of a nation of Egypt, protects me as we go through the desert, puts up a column of fire to protect me, parts the Red Sea, allows me to walk over, and then closes the Red Sea over mine enemies, and then as I'm going through the desert, provides manna from heaven and water when I need it. She goes, at that point, me and you, Lord. How do you say it nowadays, kids? Peace out. Lord, I'm here. I'm on your program. You see, what do we expect of God? He did those miracles and still they did not believe. Or later in Scripture, the miracles that surrounded Elijah and Elisha. 400 prophets of Baal trying to get a fire started. Elijah goes, that's no problem for my God. And fire fell from heaven. And friends, I want fire to come down from heaven and in Holy Spirit power and hit Coral Springs, Florida. I want the ability to share Jesus Christ with people and save them from what is coming. And these great miracles that happened at the great revival in life of the apostles and the disciples in the New Testament church, where Peter had never preached a sermon in his life. Remember now, he was a fisherman. Amen? He preaches his first sermon and 5,000 men get saved. He preaches another sermon a few days later and 5,000 more. Everybody's going, who are these people? You see, it's a miraculous thing when you speak the Word of God. See, when Brother Jim goes out and shares the gospel with someone, when Sister Margaret goes out and shares her love of Christ with someone, people will say, what an amazing God it is that you serve. That is an amazing thing. Pardon me. So we have these miracles that are happening. What about the miracles around the life and the ministry of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Do you not believe that God, Christ could have done anything that He wanted? Do you not believe Christ could have come down in a second from that cross? What did He say? There are 10,000 legions of angels ready to take me down. Listen, friends, you need to understand the context of that. The idea is not that Christ on the cross had the power to call them down. Here's the idea, is that Christ on the cross had the power to hold them back. He said, no. I am to stay here. You see, we serve a mighty God that can do miracles anytime that He wants. Now, I get it that there were hundreds of years at times when it seems like there were no miracles. I get it that sometimes in Living Hope Church, it seems like we go hundreds of days without a seeming miracle. But the very idea, the very concept that this church still exists after all of its wanderings in the wilderness is a miracle from God. Amen? We had some musicians leave. Brother Ronell plays the guitar. Who knew that? Sitting here, a miracle in our midst, a blessing from God. Who knew that? Who knew that people were willing to serve and do things that they had never done before? Amen? But God would step in. And God does step in with His people. And when God steps in, He's getting ready to do something new. And I'm ready for the Lord to do something new here. Amen? God seems to inaugurate His new ages with a miracle so as to commence His programs. See, I'm not interested in Larry Brister's program. I'm not really interested in Living Hope Church's programs. I'm interested in God's program. I'm interested in what God wants to do. I want the new things of Him. But not only does God perform miracles to commence a new age, God performs miracles to confirm His prophets. Look at verse 7. If you're there, please say amen. Great, you guys didn't put your Bibles away. And the Lord said to Joshua, "This day I will exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you." He's about to do miracles to confirm His prophet. You know, I got to that part, and I struggled all evening. Because it says right there, the Lord said to Joshua, "This day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all of Israel." You know, it's okay to be in that position when it's the Lord that lifts us up. Amen? But we need to serve where the Lord wants us to serve and allow Him to do that. We should never lift ourselves up in the eyes of the people. We should never lift ourselves up in the eyes of our city. The only thing that we should lift up is the name of Jesus. That is the only thing that we are to lift up. And the same thing can be done in the New Testament. The apostles perform miracles as confirmations of what they do. If you look on the screen, you will see 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 11 and 12. It says, Paul speaking, "I have become a fool in boasting. You have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended by you, for in nothing was I behind the most eminent apostles, although I am nothing." He's saying, listen, this isn't about me. "Truly, the signs of an apostle were accomplished among you with all perseverance in signs and wonders and mighty deeds." The Lord confirmed His apostles. He confirmed His disciples by empowering them to do mighty and great deeds. Friends, people do not have to have miracles to perform ministry. The greatest confirmation in ministry, in my estimation, is not a miracle, but that lives have been changed for Jesus Christ. That Christians are being edified. That when we finish up after service, we stand around and talk and we fellowship with each other and we love on each other. That we're a church family. That we're coming under conviction to live the Christian life. To be baptized. To take a stand. My goodness, to take a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. To stand up and say, yes, I am a Christian. And I am proud of that. Here I stand. I will stand here. I will exalt Christ. Here I stand. I will pray. Here I stand. I will invite you to church. Here I stand. I will read my Bible when and where I want to read my Bible, as long as I'm not interfering with my work. Here I stand in Christ. I can do nothing else. Now, I'm not copping out on anything here by what I'm about to say, but I want you to know that not all pastors are miracle workers. All right? We're not miracle and wonder-working people. John the Baptist was not a miracle worker. What he did was to point people to Jesus Christ. Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 10 quickly as we're getting ready to wrap this up. John chapter 10. I love to see those Bibles turning. When somebody gets there in a paper Bible, please say amen. John chapter 10, verse 41 and 42. I'll be reading from the Word of God. John chapter 10, verse 41 and 42. I'm sorry. Then many came to him and said, "John, perform no sign, but all the things that John spoke about this man were true." And many believed in him there. You see, John wasn't a miracle worker. John was a preacher. And a preacher has one job. Flip over to chapter 1 of the book of John. If you're there, please say amen. If you have a phone or something, we also have it on the screen. What does it say? It says, "The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" That's what the priests of the God are to do. That's what the preachers of God to do, is to point toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to say something, and I mean this with all my heart. I would rather be able to say, "Behold the Lamb of God." I would rather be able to say that than to raise the dead to life. You're going to say, "Well, Pastor Larry, that's a pretty strong statement." I stand by it. I would rather be able to say, "Behold the Lamb of God," than to personally raise the dead to life. Why do I say that? Why would I go with that? Friends, because when somebody gets saved, when I point them to Jesus Christ, and they receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior, and they're convicted of their sins and they receive Him in, biblically speaking, I did just raise them from the dead. Amen. And when you save, when you share the gospel with someone and they receive Jesus Christ, you have just resurrected the dead. They were dead and bound for hell. But God stepped in and intervened because you were faithful in what you did by sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're about to wrap this up. Look at Joshua chapter 3 and verse 10 as we prepare to close. And Joshua said, "By this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that He will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites." I practiced that all night, by the way. Friends, they were going into battle. And it was reasonable for them to feel a little bit of fear what was going on. Anyone would have fear about going into battle. Anyone would. And so God performs this miracle to comfort His people, to let them know that He was going to be among them. That He was going to be there. You see, God is so good. And every now and then, He gives us a miracle to comfort us. Every now and then, He sends something to go, "Whoa, only God could do that." Every now and then, you can't meet the obligations of your bills and you pray, "Lord, please help me." And the money comes from somewhere. And you know it was from God. Or you pray for healing for somebody. And you pray in church, as a church, for two people. And then as we leave, we get the text messages, "Hey, they were just released from the hospital." And you know, only your God can do that. God is just that good. And He does things just to let us know that He's here. And God comforts His people today. You know, I have no idea how that may manifest itself in your lives. I have no idea what you're going through today. But I want you to know this. God will reveal His plan to you for your life. And He will do it in the fullness of His time. Just look for what God is doing. Look for where God wants you to be. Something will happen in your life that lets you know. Jason, Jim, Margaret, Ronell, Angela, I'm right here. Fear not, for I am with you. I am right here. Well, church, I'd like to continue, but in the interest of time, we'll stop for today. So we have come to our conviction point. Has God done a miracle in your life? In other words, has God done the miracle of salvation in your life? Whether you're sitting here in this sanctuary or walking on the internet, my question for you right this moment is, has that miracle of salvation and transformation happened in your life yet because you received the Lord Jesus Christ? Because when you do that, you are transformed from the dead into the living. When you do that, you are transformed from living in the wilderness to crossing the River Jordan into the new life for the Promised Land. When you do that, you are transformed in an instant from a person bound for destruction to a person bound for glory. Have you received the Lord Jesus Christ? Has that miracle transformed your life yet? In just a moment, we're going to pray. And if something happened today that you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, as you received Him as your Lord, then I'm going to lead you in a prayer. That just formalized what has happened. But I want you to know, are you saved by the blood of the Lamb? What can wash away my sin? Say it, church. Grace and peace from God the Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, with every head bowed and every eye closed around the sanctuary.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, visit our website at www.lhcfl.com. Visit us on Facebook or get the ChurchLink app from the App Store. Again, thank you, and we hope to see you in service soon.